thanks again for everyone joining tonight. I want to start out with a little fable that I think will introduce our thoughts for the afternoon. The story goes that one day a hungry tiger started tracking the scent of a deer. And as he followed the deer, he came across the scent of a rabbit. So forgetting about the deer for the moment, he turned aside and started after the rabbit. But in a little while, he was distracted by the scent of a mouse and started following that. And finally, he came to the hole where the mouse had vanished, which was, of course, a dead end. And the tiger ended the day hungrier than when he had started. Well, I'm afraid this fable illustrates how many people spend their lives distracted with this or that, and at the end of the day, they've accomplished little. But in our text, in Philippians, the third chapter, verses 10 through 16, and that's going to serve as our text, as I said, I think the Apostle Paul has an answer to this problem. And that's where we're going to, again, focus our attention tonight as we see how Paul learned to focus his life, a spiritual focus. Paul wrote, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." Notice, as I highlighted there in verse 13, that Paul says, one thing I do, not 100 things I start or 12 things I attempt, but one thing I do. Paul says that he's putting all of his energy into this one thing, pressing toward the goal. And I don't know about you, but this is something that I struggle with in my life. I sometimes get involved in too many projects and end up doing less than my best with many of them. In fact, at any point in the day, I may have my hand in 2 or 3 different things and not know, my left hand may not know what my right hand is doing, is how I feel sometimes. And so, again, this is something that I struggle with, and maybe many of us do. I read this German proverb that I think I probably need to stick on my bathroom mirror or on my desktop. It says, "He who begins too much accomplishes little." And as I said, that's something maybe that we all can agree to. Again, if you're like me and you have trouble staying focused, then I think a study of the Apostle Paul's focused life will help us to overcome that. So that's what we want to do for a little while this afternoon. We want to see exactly how Paul accomplished staying focused on that one thing and where exactly that one thing was or where that focus was. First of all, we see that Paul says that he was focused on a person, and of course that person was Christ. He says in verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Paul is focusing on knowing Christ. Now, of course, knowing Christ is more than just knowing about him, although that's certainly important. We need to read God's word and know as much about Christ as we can. But it also includes developing a relationship with him. And, of course, Paul had a very special relationship with Christ ever since his conversion on the road to Damascus. But he still longed for a deeper and a richer knowledge of Christ. Paul wanted to know everything about Jesus. For example, he says he wanted to know the power of his resurrection. Paul also wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says that he had been crucified with Christ. And of course, that's figuratively speaking, spiritually speaking, but we get the idea there that he is getting to know the power of Christ's resurrection. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so, yes, Paul had come to realize the power or the strength available to the Christian through the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord. But at the same time, he felt the need for a renewal of that strength and that power. And so he focused his life on getting to know that power better. In addition, we also find here in verse 10 that Paul says he wanted to know the fellowship of Christ's suffering. That word fellowship, as it's used here, means sharing or joint participation. And so Paul wanted to share in Christ's suffering. And I believe Paul felt that no one could really know and understand Christ fully until he shared in his suffering. Again, he wrote in Galatians 6, verse 17, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 10 through 11, he would write, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless." Paul certainly had shared in the sufferings of Christ. And through suffering for the cause of Christ, Paul came to understand more clearly, I believe, what the Lord had suffered for him. And that's certainly something that we all need to strive to better understand. Paul concluded his thought here with the words, "conformed to his death." With the help of the Lord, Paul was dying. Again, not physically dying, although we all are physically dying, but dying to himself. That is, he was no longer the man that he used to be, no longer the man even that he wanted to be at one time. He was becoming the man that Christ wanted him to be. And again, as we've already read in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul says that he had been crucified with Christ. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And so as we've seen here, Paul's desire to know Christ, to know more about Christ, had at least four sides to it. There was a personal experience, he says, that I may know him. It was a powerful experience. He wanted to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. It was, in some ways, a painful experience because of the fellowship of Jesus' suffering that he wanted to know more about. And then it was a practical experience, being conformed to Christ's death. Well, Paul did focus his life on knowing Christ. But not only did he want to know Christ in this life, Paul also looked forward to knowing Christ in the next life. And I think this is evidently what Paul had in mind when he wrote in verse 11 of our text, "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." This, of course, was the promise that Christ made in John, the 5th chapter. He said there, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Paul, I think, looked forward to the time when he could know Christ fully in this life, but also in the life beyond. And he looked forward to participating in that resurrection. Well, that leads us to our next point. Besides staying focused on the person of Christ, Paul also tried to remain focused on the prize. He said in verses 12 and 14, or 12 through 14 of our text, "Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As far as the present was concerned, Paul realized that there was humility needed. And what I mean by that is he was not proud. He was more than willing to admit that he still had a way to go. He said, "Not as though I had already attained," there in verse 12. Paul had not yet obtained the full knowledge of Christ. That, of course, would come in the resurrection. He also said, "Either we're already perfect," there in verse 12. In other words, he knew that he could not, or rather, he knew that he was not all he could be or should be. Now, if the Apostle Paul claimed that he still had room to grow, then surely that puts us in our place, if you will. Not on a pedestal where we may sometimes try to place ourselves, but we realize that we too have lots of room to grow. And in fact, the challenge is given throughout the Bible for us to grow, not to stand still or to stagnate, but to grow. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, Paul said that we should grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Besides being humble about where he stood in the present, knowing that he had not yet attained it, Paul also realized regarding his past that there was some forgiveness needed. In other words, looking back on his past life, he realized that he was not all that he could or should be. And that could be disheartening. And so how did Paul cope with not being all that he could be? Well, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, there in verse 13. Paul didn't dwell on the past. He says he forgot about it. Now, what did Paul forget? Well, for one thing, Paul forgot about his past successes. We can see earlier in this chapter, he said in verse 3, that we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And then beginning in verse 4, he points out that if anyone should have confidence in the flesh, in other words, if anyone should be proud of their past, if you will, if anyone should be able to rest on their laurels, so to speak, it would be the Apostle Paul. Notice there what he says in verses 4 through 7. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, of course, Paul here is going all the way back to his life as a former Jew, and he was a Jew of Jews, we might say. But as we said, he didn't rest on those laurels, and neither can we. We can't rely on our past service. We have to continue to prove ourselves. It's not only, though, his perhaps past successes that Paul wanted to forget, he also wanted to forget his past failures. He admitted that he was not perfect, that he had not yet apprehended, he had not yet laid hold of the prize. But Paul didn't spend his time regretting. He repented and he moved forward. You know, a lot of Christians allow their past to destroy their present and their future. Sometimes we may hear someone say that God just cannot forgive them for what they've done. But the reality is they can't forgive themselves in cases such as that. God has promised that he will forgive. In fact, not only forgive, but forget. Hebrews 8 and 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And certainly if God Almighty can forget our past, then surely we must have a way, or we must find a way to do the same. And then finally, when it came to focusing on this prize, regarding the future, Paul realized that there was still much progress needed. When we dwell on the past, we many times become distracted and discouraged. And Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, if you're going to forget something, then you need to put something else in its place, right? If you're not going to not think about something, then what are you going to think about? Well, he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I follow after, I press on. One version says, I stretch toward. Here, Paul's intensity is clearly seen. He had a great desire to reach his spiritual goal, this prize. And what again was it that he was reaching for? What was this prize? Well, Paul knew what that was, and we should too, that it was the prize of heaven. And he also knew that this could only be done if we faithfully live our lives as Christians, if we also try to, while we're living faithfully, bring as many to Christ as we possibly can. And Paul certainly knew that. Paul would go on to live the kind of life that he could say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Well, finally, while Paul focused on Christ and focused on the prize that was promised to those who faithfully live for Christ, he also realized that it was necessary, as I mentioned, to focus on other people. Again, in Philippians 3, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." Without going back to the previous verses that we've already noticed, in verses 4 through 14, if you read through those verses again, it seems that Paul is focusing completely on himself. Over and over you hear the words I, me, my, myself. And that's not selfish. He's just using himself as an example there. But in verse 15, he suddenly shifts to the plural, us, we, you. There's several yous there. Paul's focus in his life was not just on himself. It was also on others. And he had learned these lessons of remaining spiritually focused, and he wanted everyone to have the same attitude that he had, that he was describing. And so it's with a little bit of gentle correction, I guess we could say, that Paul seeks to teach these lessons to his audience. He says, "If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." One trait of immaturity is not being able to grasp God's word. And that's why babes in Christ, as we call them, as the Bible calls them, have to feed on the milk of the word. But as we grow, we must also be able to handle and to understand the tougher lessons of Christianity. And Paul was confident that his readers would get the instruction that they needed to make the proper decisions. He was confident that those who disagreed with him would soon learn better if they continued to study God's word. Finally, Paul ends with a more or less general command here in his discussion. He tells them to walk by the same rule, to be of the same mind. To be spiritually united, we must have a common authority. Of course, that must be God's word. God's will for us will be plain if we will obediently stick to his written word. And so in conclusion, we must stay focused on the spiritual task that's before us. There are lots of things in this life that are important, but none of them are as important as following Jesus. And so, like Paul, we need to stay focused on Christ, focused on the prize that he has promised us, and certainly focused on others around us as well. That's my study tonight. Nate, I'll turn it back over to you.